Black culture and white culture have mixed in this country since the 17th century. Even during the height of segregation, they continued to influence each other. In the last part of a series, Honky Tonks, Hymns, and the Blues, Paul Brown finds that the combination of Africa and Europe in America is one of the things that makes American culture so vibrant.
Doug Womble plays his own brand of American roots music.
Never quite believe. Where can relief be found?
My mother was the pianist in the Baptist church that we attended three times a week. My grandfather, still to this day, plays guitar. Old cowboy songs, country songs, lots of things.
Womble mixes all of that with the other kind of music he grew up hearing in Memphis.
You always hear the Stax era music. Sam and Dave, Otis Redding. I mean, forget it. It was always in your ear. And, of course, that other guy, Elvis.
The blending of black and white in American music goes back to the late 17th century. Travelers to Virginia's Tidewater region wrote about hearing the African-American banjo and the European violin being played together. Randolph Jefferson, a violinist like his brother Thomas, played in a band with his own slaves. But beginning with the minstrel shows of the 1830s and 40s, white performers satirized the fiddle and banjo tunes of the slaves.
She said that she did pity me, felt sorry for my woes. I thought she's gonna kiss me when she took and pulled my nose.
After the Civil War, the fiddle and banjo were joined by the guitar, and the string band was born.
Which we associate now with white musicians.
Kip Lornell is a professor of Africana studies at George Washington University.
But really, in the late 19th century, early 20th century, it was just as common for black Americans to be playing in string bands as it was white Americans.
Even as African Americans in the South were playing hoedowns, whites were listening to and playing the blues.
If you don't want me, mama, you sure don't have to stop. Lord, Lord.
The man known as the father of country music, Jimmy Rogers, scored his first hit with a blues, Blue Yodel No. 1. He went on to record with the Mississippi Sheiks, a black string band, and by the time he got around to recording Blue Yodel No. 9, he was in the studio with Louis Armstrong and his wife, Lil.
Standing on the corner, I didn't mean no harm.
The recording studio was not an oasis in a segregated country, but African-American and white musicians could sometimes interact. One example of that exchange comes from the farming communities of the Virginia Mountains. That's where the white Carter family heard black blues musician Leslie Riddle play a song called the Cannonball Blues.
I hear that train coming down the track. Gonna carry me away, but ain't gonna bring me back from Buffalo to Washington.
In a 1963 interview with musician Mike Seeger, Riddle recalled how he met A.P. Carter in Tennessee. The Carter family patriarch was looking for another black guitar player, John Henry Lyons.
So John Henry gave me his guitar, told me to play Mr. Carter a piece. So I played him a couple of pieces. He wanted me to go home with him right then and there.
Riddle wound up teaching Cannonball Blues to Maybelle Carter.
Listen to that train coming down the track. Carry me away, but it ain't gonna bring me back. He's gone, he's all gone.
Blue Ridge Mountains weren't the only part of the South where African Americans and whites mixed their music and their lives.
My name is Clarence Gatemouth Brown. I was born in a little town in western Louisiana, raised in Orange, Texas, 1924.
On the Texas-Louisiana border, Gatemouth Brown grew up with Anglos, blacks, and French Acadians.
Some of my closest friends was white kids in the music, and we used to play at our house sometime, and then everybody get tired, and we'd fall all on the floor wherever we couldn't go to sleep, and I would do the same thing over at their houses, and I mean, that's the way we live.
I'm a boogie rambler, want to ramble all the time.
While black and white musicians sometimes did get the chance to play together, as often as not, they heard each other's music on records and on the radio. And Kip Lornell says that in the middle of the last century, Memphis was a good example of radio's influence.
I don't think it's any coincidence that the first black-oriented radio station, WDIA, was from Memphis. If you're a white teenager and you want to go into that forbidden swamp of black American music, the airways are not segregated. Anybody can listen to WDIA. You can be darn sure that that's exactly what Elvis Presley and his contemporaries did. They wanted to hear Joe Turner.
When you wear old dresses, the sun comes shining through. When you wear old dresses, the sun comes shining through. I can't believe mine, all of this belongs to you.
Joe Turner recorded Shake, Rattle, and Roll in April of 1954. 2 months later, Bill Haley and the Comets cleaned up the lyrics and scored a hit with white listeners.
Wearing those dresses, your head done up so nice. Wearing those dresses, your head done up so nice. You look so warm, but your heart is cold as ice.
While the blending of black and white in American music has created some remarkable sounds, it's also led to charges of racism and exploitation. Guitarist and singer Doug Womble, with his amalgam of gospel, jazz, and blues, often hears that he's trying to sound like a black man. Womble says he's just doing what the music warrants.
Okay, I've written a song. The music sounds like this. The words go like this. And then I'm going to go sing, "Hard life, trouble, Lord, bring a man to his knees." Why am I going to do that? Hard life, trouble, Lord, bring a man to his knees. Am I black? No, I'm white. And I'm going to try to sing with soul. And if someone wants to say, "Well, you're just trying to be a brother," let them. It ain't going to change anything about the way the notes sound coming out of my mouth.
In the end, Womble says the circle comes back around and remains unbroken. On a recent visit to Wynton Marsalis, Womble found the jazz musician listening to the Carter Family. For NPR News, I'm Paul Brown.
Honky Tonk's Hymns and the Blues was an independent production of Artemis Media Project, Pacific Vista Productions, and Murray Street, New York. The producers are Kathy Farnell, Margaret Moose Pick, and Steve Rath, with Matthew D. Payne, Lita Hartman, David C. Barnett, Jesse Boggs, Heath Kurtz, Jackie Gales-Webb, Alexis Gillespie, Barrett Golding, and Larry Massett. The executive editor was Paul Brown. The series editor was Tom Cole. Previous stories in the series are at npr.org.